You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
The destiny of America is always safer in the hands of the people than in the conference rooms of any elite.
Sam Cedar.
They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, June 14th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. Today on the program, Allison Kilkenny of The Nation magazine and Citizens Radio. She'll be here to talk to us about what's going on with U.S. Uncut protests around the country. Also on this program, there's actually a slight chance towards the end of the program that we will be speaking to one of the people who was on. Well, I can't say this. It's not confirmed. I was going to say one of the people who were on the dais last night during the Republican debate, but it's not confirmed. It's a rumor. It was talk. Let's just say that she didn't officially announce that she was going to be president last night. She implied it. I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about it. Also, just a little house cleaning, folks. Tomorrow, I will be hosting the Tom Hartman program. This program, if you listen live, will start at 11:30-ish. I will take some IMs in the lead up to the Tom Hartman program. So much of the podcast tomorrow will be segments of that program. But you'll be able to watch it. You'll be able to listen to it, I think, through our stream and through, of course, at tomhartman.com. Tomorrow night, I will be headed to Netroots Nation. Very busy. This is like the most busy I've ever been in my entire life. And we will be having a meetup with other progressive talkers and podcasters at The Newsroom, 990 Nicolet, 10th Street and Marquette, 990 Nicolet Mall. I don't know where this is. We have a link to the Facebook notice of it, right, on majority.fm.
It's on yesterday's post. I'll put it on today's post.
Okay, maybe can we get a sticky post maybe with all the Netroot Nation's information?
Sure, no problem.
We'll do that. And, of course, I'm hoping to have, I don't know, a bunch of interviews, but maybe just sit down and conversations with people. More information as it becomes available to me and then to you will be forthcoming. And tonight I should tell you also, John Benjamin Has a Van is a program that will be on Comedy Central tonight and tomorrow night. They're debuting it twice. What the heck happened? I thought I turned that off. Our air conditioner is going on by itself.
It's telling us something.
And so that's at 10:30 at Comedy Central. It's a very funny program. And who knows? Maybe he'll call in. It could be quite a show today. I just don't know. Meanwhile, President Obama, there was a story Sunday how he is really reaching out to Wall Street, because despite the fact that the Dow has gone up, what, like 4,000 points since September 08, he just hasn't done enough for them. By gosh, people on Wall Street and the rich in this country, they're suffering, folks. They are suffering. And you don't care. You class warriors are trying somehow to prevent these people from having their carpeted pools, their fur-lined sinks. You are in some way not grateful that all the ads you watch on television are no longer geared towards you because you're not rich enough. You just need to sit through them and be reminded of what you do not have. And what increasingly a smaller and smaller percentage of this country can afford without really worrying about it. While you are worried as to how am I going to pay my health care bills? How am I going to meet my mortgage payments? These people are thinking, I don't know if I can maintain this fourth house. You're all very cruel. And meanwhile, a corporation, something like some huge percentage of Obama's job creation program I just saw today are actually heads of corporations who are making the bulk of their investments overseas to create jobs overseas. Just stunning what's happening in this country. But we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Allison Kilkenny of The Nation magazine and Citizens Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone. Allison Kilkenny, writer for The Nation magazine, co-host of Citizens Radio, which is available at wearecitizensradio.org. Daily program, daily podcast, correct?
It's actually wearecitizensradio.com.
Oh,
and,
sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. It's Monday through Friday right now.
So, I mean, that's 5 days.
It is. That's true.
On every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, all right, let's talk about this. There's been a lot of things going on basically under the radar, except for the articles I'm seeing that you write about it, with U.S. Uncut around the country. Just give us a little background. I mean, we've talked pretty extensively on this program about what U.S. Uncut is. It is an outgrowth of the U.K. Uncut, or at least a following that, I guess, that movement, I guess you could call it. But just give us a little bit of background.
Sure. So there's a British journalist named Johan Hari who wrote a really good article for The Nation basically detailing what UK Uncut is and proposing that the United States would benefit from having its own version of the group. So a young man named Carl Gibson read the article and decided that he was going to start the first chapter of US Uncut in Jackson, Mississippi. So he actually founded the first chapter. And basically, US Uncut is an anti-corporate tax dodging movement. According to the group, they're all about taking action against unnecessary and unfair cuts to public services across the United States at a time when, you know, like two-thirds of corporations in the United States don't pay any federal income taxes at all. And, you know,
well, that's so they create all the jobs, right? I mean, because we all know that it's not demand that creates jobs. It's if they have extra money sitting around, they'll just say, hey, why don't we hire people?
Right, except the problem with that is they got a lot of tax breaks, and billionaires got a lot of tax breaks during the Bush years, and what happened? They didn't create jobs. So we know that's not true. And in fact, the country loses $100 billion every year from these corporate tax dodging practices. So, you know, it's taken on a new sort of profound meaning now that we're dealing with these austerity measures where teachers are getting to have, you know, like a roof over their heads so they can teach students at a time when Bank of America hasn't paid a nickel in federal income taxes in the past 2 years.
And so the what they're doing is essentially taking it, they're sort of not following what has become the sort of the traditional modality of protesting such things, which is, you know, we put out a press release, we ask donors to give us money, and then we put out more press releases, and then we go lobby, and then we just basically go on the Washington cocktail circuit, and we live happy lives with not much effect. They're taking a different tack.
Yeah, it's very guerrilla, and they're very insistent on saying they don't have a leader. Carl Gibson is not the leader of U.S. Uncut. There's different chapters, and they're very creative in how they try to get their message out there to the public. You know, they just had some protests against Apple. Apple's another corporate tax dodger. And in Boston, they put up a video on YouTube where they're protesting inside one of Apple's famous stores. And yeah, they're very creative in how they're trying to get their message out there.
I like it. They went in there with wearing a lot of Apple uniforms and then just basically started it was fairly smart because there's so many Apple fanboys and girls out there.
yeah.
Love the iPhone, hate the tax cuts.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm talking on a MacBook right now, but that's the reason that they chose Apple, because Apple's enormously popular even among progressives, you know, because they make good products. And US Uncut doesn't say that they're against Apple. They're just against these tax dodging practices. And yeah, it was kind of hilarious. They were in the Apple employees uniforms, the blue shirts with the thing around the neck. And in the video, you can see the Apple employees sort of giving them the eye like, oh God, something's about to go down.
And now if you wear an unauthorized Apple uniform, isn't that a federal offense? The FBI then has a right to wiretap you, don't they? Isn't that the new law?
I believe you receive the death penalty.
That's right. You get you get sent down to a brig for wearing the Apple uniform in an unauthorized fashion. And
I think that's right.
What's the latest thing? I mean, U.S. Uncut has sort of paired up with the Yes Men. We've talked about the Yes Men quite a bit on this program, but just give us a little background of who the Yes Men are.
The Yes Men are another unorthodox protest group where they perform identity correction, which means that they pose as corrupt CEOs, corrupt businessmen, and they attend like shareholder meetings pretending to be these people. And in their presentation before a board, they proceed to mock very thoroughly the practices of these corporations. So the Yes Men and US Uncut teamed up to put out a hoax press release from GE saying that GE was going to give back all of the money that it had gotten in tax breaks over the years, you know, in order to stimulate the economy and give back to the society that had facilitated its lavish growth. And the AP picked it up and ran with it. And it was a huge story. And then, of course, GE came out and said, actually, that wasn't us. So now the Yes Men and US Uncut are teaming up again, and they're hoping to raise money so they can actually go to the Cayman Islands. Cayman Islands is where a lot of this tax dodging practices happens. You know, President Obama, when he was still a senator, one of his biggest applause lines was how there was one building in the Cayman Islands with 15,000 corporations registered there, and that was either the biggest scam in the world or the biggest building in the world, you know, and then everybody cheered. But since then, he hasn't really done much to cut down on these tax dodging practices. So US Uncut and the Yes Men are trying to raise money on a Kickstarter account so they can actually go there, figure out what corporations they're sheltering their revenue there, and hopefully embarrass a lot of these companies.
We will put a link at majority.fm to this Kickstarter account. I think they're looking to raise, what, 10 grand to head down there. I feel fairly comfortable in saying these guys aren't just going to go down there and get tans. They're obviously putting themselves on the line. You know, that. Let's talk about this, just sort of the idea of direct action more generally, because there seems to be a growing awareness, and not just a growing awareness, I mean, a growing awareness of its necessity, but also I think there is a slightly different impact. I mean, there were many of us, hundreds of thousands of us, who protested against the Iraq war to very, very little effect. But mm-hmm. It seems like these protests, they resonate a little bit more. Is that your sense?
Yeah. And, you know, I spoke with Chris Hedges recently about this, and he's a big advocate of civil disobedience. But I think the game's starting to change a little bit because these activists are refusing to play by the rules that have been handed down by, cities that say you can only protest if you get a permit. When you're protesting, you need a permit for a megaphone. You have to stay within the barriers. You can't disrupt traffic. And that is meaningless protest. You know, that gets nothing done because we're playing by their rules. And when protesters don't play by rules, you see what happens, like in Wisconsin, when the protesters actually occupied the Capitol. That was meaningful protest because it really shook up the establishment. Like, right. The representatives didn't know what to do, you know, and that's really, you have to disrupt the normal flow of things. Otherwise, you know, I was at the protest in London before the Iraq invasion, and there were a million people in the streets. Mm. And if you get a million people in the streets, but then everybody goes home at an agreed upon time, and, you know, everybody's very civil, and everybody's very polite, nothing gets done. So you do have to be a little bit of a really have to shake things up.
And, you know, the interesting thing, too, I think that is really different, I mean, is YouTube, frankly. I mean, you know, the idea that this protest in Boston at the Apple Store, if it was just if there was no YouTube, I mean, you know, when we were protesting the Iraq war, there was no YouTube. I know that's hard for people to sort of like even conceive of at this point. Gosh, I remember a time where there was no ATMs. But be that. the point being that a half a dozen people living in some small town can go into their local Bank of America, stage a protest, videotape it, get out of there, and this thing has a life that goes beyond what the impact of those people in that bank.
Yeah, and the internet has definitely been a tremendous tool for solidarity. We saw that with the rebellion and the revolution in Egypt, you know, but there's a limit to it. You know, it's great for a group like US Uncut, which otherwise probably wouldn't have gotten a lot of attention. I know that part of the reason they popped up on my radar was because they were so effective with social media and stuff like that. But then ultimately it is up to the protesters to, you know, get off Facebook, get off Twitter and flood the streets and stop traffic, because otherwise you're all just bitching on the internet and nothing gets done.
Right. There is no direct line. The bitching on the internet is really just ends up being bitching on the internet. But what is their site? Is it usuncut.org or .com? Or?
Yes. Usuncut.org.
And so people can sort of send an email there and get involved in that way. Let me just ask you simultaneously, did you watch the debate last night?
I did.
What'd you think?
You know, it was a train wreck, but we all knew it would be a train wreck. But Romney really came across as like the guard at a psych unit. You know, like, it was bad, but he definitely seemed like the adult in the room. And don't get me wrong, I loathe Romney, and he is like a corporate shill, and he's just a scumbag. Everything that comes out of the man's mouth, you can tell, has been like tested in front of a focus group. But he definitely was the least craziest. Which, right. I guess is the best compliment you can give the GOP pool right now.
I'm not convinced that his advisors didn't just say, this is the strategy. You're going to be the least craziest. My family's from Massachusetts. I don't think there's ever been a politician more hated in Massachusetts than Mitt Romney. The guy was so duplicitous, such a liar. You know, his whole plan was to cut taxes there. And then what they did is they just upped government fees from on everything. Your trash pickup, your driver's license. Just figured out another way of taxing while being able to sort of carry around that tax cutting. I guess they give him a plaque or something. They give him some type of plaque.
Yeah.
The Republicans.
I just love the idea of a guy running as a supposedly successful businessman when he oversaw like tremendously high unemployment. I just love that he can march out there with a serious face and say, you know, I know how to create jobs. And meanwhile, his state is burning behind him.
Well, and he may know how to create jobs, but it's only from his work at Bain Capital in cutting them that he may have learned that lesson.
Right.
you know, sometimes we can learn from our own mistakes, I guess, in that respect. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, one of the things that I've been struggling with is this notion that, you know, Obama has been something of a disappointment to me and in a number of areas. And I mean, how do you guys? I mean, because I know you guys, you and Jamie are on every day, and you're talking about this stuff. When you start thinking about towards the election, what's your take on this? I mean,
Yeah. You
know, it is a slightly depressing time to be advocating. I guess a disappointing time, I should say.
Yeah, I think it's only depressing if you have faith in politicians to execute what you want to be done. I've just sort of learned that the system is so tainted with, you know, corporate money and greed that it doesn't matter who's running for office. They can be the most upstanding moral person in the world. By the time they get elected, they've had to sacrifice and, you know, make shady deals to the point that, you know, they can't function in a moral way anymore. So it's up to citizens to perform direct action. And that's what I was talking about with the people in Wisconsin and stuff like that, where it's like, it's not enough to vote every 4 years for president. You know, if you want to affect real change, you have to be an engaged citizen. You know, you have to educate yourself. You have to be willing to get off the computer, go see your representative. And if you don't have time to do that, you know, donate money to an organization that does have the time to do that. Because, you know, I'm sympathetic. I know people have kids, they have jobs, they're very busy just trying to keep their heads above water. But we have to come to terms with the fact that our country is in crisis, and the people who we are given the option to vote for are going to do nothing. They're going to fix nothing, because we're basically voting for one of two corporate parties. And I realize that's a cynical way to look at it, but I'm also very hopeful that citizens have the power to correct the system if they become engaged.
Well, that's a very hopeful outlook and much appreciated. Speaking of which, just quickly, just because I just had an argument with my co-host from Ring of Fire on about Anthony Weiner. In fact, I'm barely talking about it, but just give me your take on just this whole, just the bullshit surrounding this.
Yeah, it's a huge distraction, and it's really unfortunate because, you know, I don't care, but unfortunately, this is a story that the media just, you know, salivates over, where it's like, oh my God, there's, you know, goofy pictures we can giggle over. And, you know, Anthony Weiner didn't really do himself any services with, you know, getting or forming allies within the Democratic Party.
Right.
He's always sort of been a show pony, so they threw him under the bus almost immediately, which, I mean, Democrats tend to do that anyways. They'd much rather run away from a fight than engage. But it's unfortunate because, and I actually agreed with President Obama when he said this, there are real problems right now. You know, there's massive unemployment. Millions of people have lost their homes and continue to lose their homes. And all our media can do is giggle over a dick photo. Like, I mean, that's just an indictment over how horribly they failed us yet again. I mean, not that they hadn't failed us enough already with Iraq and everything, but they're just a joke. They're pathetic.
I couldn't agree more. Allison Kilkenny of The Nation magazine and WeAreCitizensRadio.com. I got that right? WeAreCitizensRadio.com. Monday through Friday, podcast available over there. Great show. Lots of fun.
Thank you.
Check it out. All right, Alice, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
We got to take a break, folks. When we come back, I will be talking more about the news. Like I say, I can't confirm whether or not we're going to get a call. I just don't know. But I'm, you hear rumors on the line, on the internets. We'll be right back. We're back, Sam Cedar, on the Majority Report. The FBI, this is wonderful. The FBI, now, you got to think about this in the context of remembering that the Department of Homeland Security came out with a report 2 years ago saying that the Christian, what is it, the sovereign country movement, this basically... guys like Terry Nichols and some people say that Jared Loughner, the Arizona shooter, subscribed to this. You've got neo-Nazis. They're trying to blow up people at a Martin Luther King parade. This story is coming on the heels of the report that the U.S. Homeland Security, which I talked about the other day, cut back its funding to, surveil, police, track, right-wing, domestic, homegrown terrorists, which make up a majority of the 88, 83-some-odd plots that have been foiled in this country. And then we see reported today, I guess it was, maybe it was yesterday or Monday, by Charlie Savage in the New York Times, the FBI is giving significant new powers to its roughly 14,000 agents. And when you ask yourself, who are they targeting? It is just about anybody, as far as I can tell. It's giving significant new powers to its roughly 14,000 agents, allowing them more leeway to search databases, go through household trash, or use surveillance teams to scrutinize the lives of people who have attracted their attention. That's a pretty high standard. If you've attracted their attention, it's going to issue these new rules. I don't know how they get to do this unilaterally. In the Domestic Investigations Operations Guide. This is, remember back in 2007, the FBI was found to frequently misuse their national security letters. These are letters they would send to a company saying, we want all the information, and you cannot tell anyone that we've asked you. So if you're a phone carrier, we want all of your customers' information. You cannot tell anybody that we've asked you this. No, you want to fight this this subpoena? You can't, because you can't tell anybody. Some of the most notable changes apply to the lowest category of investigations called an assessment. The category created in December 2008 allows agents to look into people and organizations proactively. That's a quote. And without firm evidence for suspecting criminal or terrorist activity. So maybe I get the sense that you're going to, maybe in the future, be involved in some type of criminal or terrorist activity. I don't know why there's any rules at this point. Under current rules, agents must open such an inquiry before they can search for information about a person in a commercial or law enforcement database. Under the new rules, agents will be allowed to search such databases without making a record about their decision. No paper trail. The new rules will also relax a restriction on administering lie detector tests and searching people's trash. So here's the upshot, folks. While cities and states are cutting the pensions and cutting the staffs of agencies and departments, like the sanitation department, the FBI will sweep in with all new powers to actually take away your trash for you. Under current rules, agents can't use such techniques until they open a preliminary investigation, which, unlike an assessment, requires a factual basis for suspecting someone of wrongdoing. But soon, agents will be allowed to use those techniques for one kind of assessment, too, when they are evaluating a target as a potential informant. So if you are doing nothing wrong, if you are, they don't suspect you from doing anything wrong, but if you know somebody who may be doing something wrong, whether or not you know that they're engaged in that behavior. Okay, so for instance, I am, of course, at home involved in a massive terrorist criminal activity where I store all the data in the rectum of my 5-year-old daughter because that's the safest place. Now, Matt is not aware of this, but yet the FBI now can go and search his garbage to find some type of leverage, anything. Matt, I see that you're a frequent reader of High Times magazine. Really? Maybe you have some pot at home. Huh, that could send you away for a long time. What we want you to do is start tape recording your conversations with Sam. Theoretically, they're not starting their own rival podcast. But apparently, this is the power that has been granted FBI agents. They have been asked for that power in part because they want the ability to use information found in a subject's trash to put pressure on that person to assist the government in investigation of others. There seems to be no requirement that initial person is aware of or engaged in any type of criminal or terrorist activity. The new manual will also remove a limitation of the use of surveillance squads, which are trained to surreptitiously follow targets. Under current rules, squads can only be used once during an assessment, but the new rules will allow agents to use them repeatedly. The revisions also clarify what constitutes undisclosed participation in an organization by an FBI agent or informant. The new manual says an agent or informant may surreptitiously attend up to 5 meetings of a group before those rules would apply, unless the goal is to join the group, in which case those rules apply immediately. So in other words, they can go to 5 meetings, say, hey, what you really should be doing is attacking the U.S. government. Get some boots and get a uniform and attack the U.S. government. And while they do that, they're not under any type of disclosure rules. Stunning.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, oddlay, oddlay, hee hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, oddlay, oddloo.
Oh, holy,
Sam Stein reports that the Obama campaign advised the White House staff to give top donor a sense of access. I don't know what's more nauseating about this story. I mean, this is nothing new. Of course we know this. But it is awkward to see it in print. Apparently there was a memo that Sam Stein got a hold of that has not been confirmed by the Obama administration to be legit. Obama aides offered a candid template for how they're tackling the task of retaining disaffected donors. Hoping to keep the support of a key Florida supporter, the presidential's political team suggested that top White House aides give the sense that his voice was, quote, being heard inside the administration. He's a bundler, CEO of Full Sail University, a for-profit technical college in Orlando. According to the memo, he stopped being, quote, helpful in 2009, is currently being courted by former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. It was suggested this guy needs a bit of ego massaging. It's important to understand this meeting is not about educational student loans, though that information is below. Rather, Ed needs and wants an ongoing point of contact inside the White House to periodically give input. From his view, he is CEO of four different companies and has the ability to give business and economic ideas above and beyond the average check writer. I don't even know what button to hit here.
Surprise, surprise.
According to the memo, Haddock remains disappointed with the administration's recent rulemaking policy, which provides stricter guidance and punishment for for-profit colleges that allow students to take on too much debt. Even greater than Ed's policy concerns, this is the memo reads, is his personal feelings of being ignored and shut out of the process. Ed is not unreasonable and realizes that many people have a hand in making these policy decisions and does not claim that his voice should be heard above the rest. He does, however, feel that he has a perspective on this issue that is unique and feels as though he didn't have a venue in which to share his input. All the people who came out of the woodwork to shit on Cornell West because of his personal feelings of being slighted, although he was willing to offer a broader critique of the administration based upon their policies that affect 90% of the American public. Where are they now? This guy gave several hundred thousand dollars over the past couple of years to Democrats, $400,000. Where are those people who attacked Cornell West? And do you think that there was an internal memo saying, hey, you know, you really should listen to Cornell West? Unbelievable. Oh, wait a second. Getting a call. Hold on. Oh, wait a second. Where was that call? No, I thought I had a call there. It's like, I thought we were expecting a call. Hold on one second. Let's try that one more time. I didn't hear it. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Let's try this one more time. All right, so that's the thing, is I wanted to know where those same people are. You can bash Cornell West, but a story like this comes out and you hear nothing. Nothing. All right. Bear with us, folks. Meanwhile, this is coming on the heels, of course, of that story on Sunday that in the New York Times that just before announcing his reelection campaign, Obama convened two dozen Wall Street executives, many of them longtime donors, in the White House Blue Room. Money. Money gives you access. Meanwhile, maybe it's just a coincidence, Washington Post yesterday, regulators are having such a difficult time translating into action the Wall Street overhaul that Congress ordered last year that they're cutting the investment industry and themselves some slack. All right, let's see who this is. This looks like a Minnesota exchange. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Can I help you?
Hi, it's Kathy.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Kathy. Listen, Michelle Mabel was going to call, but she's busy disabling the comments, not only on YouTube, but also on her other social media sites.
Oh.
Right now.
Well, Catherine Harris.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful to hear from you. I saw a Minnesota exchange on the, I assumed it was...
I'm working with Shelley right now, but as I say, she's having the devil's own time with the comments that are coming in, from filing the necessary paperwork, and all of a sudden there was just a barrage of comments. So she's busy disabling the people's voice in that area.
Well, one might think that she would have a staff person do that, no? Or
Well, she's a real DIY. She likes to get her hands dirty, and when she doesn't, you know, she puts one of her children to work, you know, with 28 hands. 28 hands make light work. You know that.
Oh, yes.
That's why she supports the rolling back of child labor laws that, you know, is happening in Wisconsin and Maine. She has breathed a heavy sigh of relief that we can start putting the young ones to work earlier.
Oh, well, now, so Catherine Harris, am I not mistaken, but didn't you have issues with Michelle Bachmann in the past, or am I imagining that?
I think you're imagining things. Right now, we're both in this together, and we have an awesome story to tell about a three-legged stool, as you heard last night in the debates when Michelle was talking about when she becomes President of the United States. And I don't know how to express to you how excited I am about the three-legged stool.
Well,
it's awesome, the story that we have to tell as Republicans.
Tell us the three-legged stool part. I think I may have had that turned down, or my daughter was crying during that part of the debate.
Well, there's, of course, the one leg of that the EPA is a job killer. Everybody knows that. We know that carbon dioxide never hurt anyone. So don't even start with that, Sam, because I have a feeling that would be one of that'd be just like you to start talking about carbon dioxide.
Right. Okay. So stool number one is that the EPA is a
job killer.
Okay. And what are the other two stools?
The other leg is that we have to roll back taxes. You know that. We also, I'm going to actually split that stool with child labor laws that have to be rolled back. Again, as Michelle can tell you, with 28 children, you need to revisit child labor laws. That's a no-brainer.
Right, that's a no-brainer. And so what's the third stool? Or third
supply side trickle down.
Sorry?
Supply side trickle down.
Supply side trickle down. I mean, isn't tax cutting basically supply side trickle down too?
Well, it doesn't. I don't think it really, really, really emphasizes the trickle down nature of the almost golden shower like rain down on the people from the top.
I see. There's going to be a golden shower on the people. It's not even
showers
trickle down.
Of gold.
It's going to be
showers of gold.
Showers of gold. So it's not even trickle down. It's like a shower down.
It is. It's like a golden shower.
A golden shower.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And so tell me, Catherine Harris, last we spoke, you were in Jerusalem selling your hoodies mm-hmm. and your rapture wear. And now you're
yes.
in Minnesota helping Michelle Bachmann run for president.
I've just been summoned just to help out a little bit while she's disabling the comments on her social media site.
And what are you doing for her?
Well, making phone calls like this, watching the children. Also, I've offered to drive Michelle and some of the people who you might have seen last night asking questions of. Some of them are in our OA group they also asked some questions last night at the debates on CNN.
You haven't been drinking, have you?
No, no. Do you remember that lovely woman with the red hair who said she was a journalist? That was so cute when she said that. And she asked the question about her worry about the overreach of health care. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely. Vaguely.
Yeah, she's in our OA group. She's adorable.
OA?
Overeaters Anonymous.
Oh, I see. I didn't...
OA.
I look at Catherine Harris. I look at Michelle Bachmann. I don't think that you guys have a weight issue.
Exactly. That's all thanks to OA. Not anymore, we don't.
I don't ever remember.
It's a wonderful program. In fact, you know, I'm so glad you brought up Jerusalem because we are going to start Overeaters Anonymous in Israel. We're going over there to go for OA. We're also going to be starting a business where we organize your closets. in Israel, in Haifa. We're going to be, we are having a special with the LL Airlines.
Uh-huh.
And we are going to be having a 2-for-1. And you can have, you're going to have discounts with the plane tickets as long as you agree to have your closet reorganized.
Now, wait a second. I'm a little confused. You are helping Michelle Bachmann run for president and simultaneously...
As president of United States.
Are you saying United States?
United States, as Michelle said last night. As president of United States.
United States.
She's going to make sure that the EPA, which is a job killer, is gone. She's going to roll back taxes, roll back child labor laws, because it's an awesome three-legged stool. Because Republicans have a wonderful story to tell.
Well, I mean, I'm giving you the opportunity to tell the story. I didn't hear really a story so much as just like the same old calls for tax cuts for corporations and wealthy people.
Well, also, she wants to make sure that carbon dioxide, there isn't this nonsense about carbon dioxide being bad for anyone. We're also going to try and roll back not only Roe v. Wade, but Griswold versus Connecticut, so that you can't get your birth control because only killers use the pill. You know that.
Only killers use the pill.
It's murder use the pill, so we're going to roll back Griswold versus Connecticut.
What about condoms? Do you think that's that's murder?
We're going to leave that up to the states. That's a states' rights issue.
Condoms are a states' rights issue.
That's states' rights. Condoms are states' rights.
I see. Wow, this is quite a story. And so what do you plan to do? Are you going to be continuing to help with the campaign, or are you going to Jerusalem? I'm a little bit confused.
Well, we're going to be also in Jerusalem as well, campaigning in Jerusalem for our closet reorganization business. We still will have the rapture hoodies and so forth. But if Michelle does become president of the United States, of course, we're going to push the rapture plans back about at least 4 years.
Can you do that? I mean, are you able to plan the rapture plans and actually change the date of the rapture?
Michelle can do anything. She puts her mind to it, especially with the help of 28 children. Can do a lot.
This has
can
been
a real
really stunning.
We're also going to be working with Andrew Breitbart and he or she who calls themselves Dan Wolf.
Oh.
Yes, they're going to be working with us at Patriot USA 76. And the Born Free group. We call them the Born Free Zoo Crew. That's what I like to call them. They're going to be in Jerusalem with us.
The Born Free Zoo Crew. This, of course, is the crew that was sort of tracking Anthony Weiner's tweets.
Yes, yes. And believe it or not, we've been such good friends with a couple of those gals who were talking with Anthony Weiner. They will also be working with us at our closet reorganization business and our OA meetings.
Wow, that's fantastic. It's really like one big happy family, isn't it?
Yes, and we also have some of the hundreds of scientists, many of whom have Nobel Prizes, who don't believe in evolution. They're going to be there.
Wait, you have hundreds of scientists who have Nobel Prizes that don't believe in evolution?
Yes, as Michelle has mentioned many times. I mean, she's quite right when she talks about it. She has personally interacted with the hundreds of scientists, many with Nobel Prizes, who believe in intelligent design.
Is there a name that you could give me? I'm curious as to which Nobel Prize-winning scientist doesn't believe in evolution.
Well, there's Ed. One's name's Ed.
Ed.
And then there's Frank.
Frank.
I mean, if you're asking for names.
For specific names. I'm asking for names. You said there are Nobel Prize-winning scientists.
Hundreds.
Hundreds who don't believe in evolution.
All of whom have T-shirts that say, "I've got a three-legged stool."
Well,
it's an awesome story Republicans have to tell.
Yeah, I mean, Catherine, I appreciate the phone call, and I would love it if you could call us, call in regularly, give us some updates from the campaign, because it does look like Michelle Bachmann is running for president.
It does, and let me just say, and we've got stickers that we're printing now that say, don't fill out the census. That's how they rounded up the Japs.
Well,
don't fill out the census. That's how they rounded up the Japs.
Catherine, you're aware that the census took place already.
Oh, I know, but you never know if the Democrats and the liberals are going to try and have another one because they didn't successfully round us up.
Well, yeah, but
the
census happens every 10 years. I mean, that's not going to change.
I understand that. So another one's coming, am I right?
Well, yeah.
Don't fill out the census. That's how they rounded up the Japs.
Okay, fair enough.
And I don't mean Jewish American princesses. I mean, speaking of which, though, I have to say, I'm sure that we're going to do very well with them with our closet reorganization business in Jerusalem.
The Jewish American princesses in Jerusalem, you're going to do well with the closet organizing business.
Yeah. They'd love to have a neat closet. I mean, where are you going to put all your shoes?
I don't know. Can I just ask you one more question?
Sure.
Sarah Palin. It seems like Bachman jumping in the race. Does it leave any room for Sarah Palin?
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Sarah Palin.
I'm not familiar with her. She in OA?
Sarah Palin. She was the vice presidential nominee. Last time you were on the program, you couldn't stop talking about her.
I'm not recalling that. I don't know who you're referring to.
So you're telling me that you have basically, that you're not even acknowledging Sarah Palin's existence anymore?
We have an awesome three-legged stool. We as Republicans have an awesome story to tell.
Well,
an awesome story to tell. Number one, carbon dioxide has never harmed anyone. Number two, we are going to roll back Griswold versus Connecticut, and you will not be able to get your killing pills. Of course, condoms are states' rights issue. And there are hundreds of scientists, not just Charlie and Frank, who believe in intelligent design.
Okay.
And we still want people armed and dangerous on the issue of energy taxation and health care.
Well, I appreciate your carrying that message. We've got to go. Catherine Harris, thank you so
golden
much.
Golden showers
golden,
trickling down.
Yes, golden showers trickling down. thank you so much for calling in. We will hopefully talk to you again soon. Catherine Harris calling in, and we got more caller as we go to our turn on my thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's John Benjamin. We've got to head over to the flip side.
Oh, sorry.
Hold on for one second.
Yeah. Hello.
Oh, hold on for one second, John. Folks, we will talk to you tomorrow, or join us on the flip side at Majority FM. You can IM us. Have a great one.
That's all you ended it.